Refugees are streaming out of Syria today, and with them coming horror stories of what they're leaving behind. Accounts of government forces hunting down opponents in a brutal offensive in the city of Homs and especially the district of Baba Amr. Paul Wood, correspondent for our partner, the BBC, sent this exclusive report from the outskirts of Homs.
On a road out of Homs, just part of the exodus from Baba Amr. They endured weeks under bombardment, then fled, panicked, before troops arrived. We're homeless, she shouts. Why? Because we asked for freedom? People are terrified of what government forces will do now. Here's why. Whoever is taken at a checkpoint will be killed, he says. They took our husbands, she cries. They took them at the checkpoint. They'll slaughter them like sheep, she says. Everyone shares the same fear that their husbands are not coming back.
It's absolutely freezing here, and these kids have done a night in a house with no heat and no electricity. And more than that, they're wondering what on earth has happened to their father.
On Friday, troops took 36 men and boys from one district, they say, killing them all. My son's throat was cut, she says. He was 12. One soldier held each down with a boot. Another came with a knife, says her husband. He was hiding 50 meters away. I could hear their screams, he says. Can such horror stories be true? These men defected from an elite army unit only last week. They told me that civilians were targeted, prisoners killed. A lieutenant gave us the orders, he says. We were told, in this operation, shoot at anything that moves. Civilian or military, you shoot at it. An old man was arrested, he told me. An officer made him kneel. He put a gun to his head. He said, this is for freedom, and he shot him. The people of Baba Amr say they are victims of a crime. The outside world will want proof. Briefly, they defied the regime. Now they are scattered, their uprising crushed. There is international outrage, but no agreement about how to bring this to an end.
That's Paul Wood there reporting for our partner, the BBC, from Homs. Earlier this morning, we also spoke to BBC correspondent Jim Muir, who's monitoring events in Syria from Beirut. And I asked him if these disturbing accounts coming out of Homs really give us the full picture.
Without seeing videos of it, one can't be 100% sure, but these are distressed people all telling the same story and basically saying the same as what activist groups have been telling us ever since the tail end of last week. It all adds up to a huge amount of very disturbing evidence, all the more so because the Red Cross convoy, which went down on Friday and has been waiting in Homs itself to get into Baba Amr, has been held back, even though the authorities are already clearing up there with bulldozers and so on.
How are the people themselves getting their news? Obviously it's difficult for us to get verification of things going on down there. How are the Syrians getting that information?
Well, I think it's largely word of mouth on the ground there. Communications are practically always cut off when there's actions or activities like that going on. So it's word of mouth spreading, people perhaps using satellite phones in some cases if you're talking about activists, but otherwise it is just the word getting around, and word does get around. I mean, people don't live in a bubble, and word does tend to spread. Now, what you do sometimes get is rumors feeding off each other and panic and so on. But when you have people on the road for several days trying to avoid checkpoints and coming out with the same stories time after time, time about men being taken away and summarily executed. At the very least, it gives rise to a lot of concern, although the government will obviously dismiss this as propaganda by what they call the inflammatory satellite stations such as us, the BBC and CNN, but above all just Al Jazeera and Al Arabiya, the Arabic satellite stations.
Jim, a last question for you. Have the wishes and the demands of the Syrian people changed? You know, for a very long time, the Syrian opposition was saying, we just want diplomatic intervention. Have they begun to ask for, say, weapons or military intervention?
I think that stage arrived quite a long time ago. They've been asking for weapons for the Free Syrian Army, and they've also been asking for outside intervention. They would like very much to see Western air power used to create a kind of safe zone, especially perhaps close to the Turkish border, where military people and civilians could collect and be safe, and also use it as a kind of launch pad for more efforts, both political and military, to undermine the regime. Now, the point is that the West is not really ready for that, apart from some voices like Senator McCain, who's urging it very strongly. But he's out on his own there for the moment, and hopes are really pinned to the mission of Kofi Annan, the UN special envoy for Syria, who is expected in Damascus on Saturday, having passed by the Arab League in Cairo earlier. And if there is any hope for a political way out of this, it rests on him, because frankly, if he can't do it, nobody can.
That's Jim. You are a correspondent for our partner, the BBC, reporting from Beirut. Thank you so much, Jim.
You're most welcome.
On Notes from America, we have conversations with people across the country about how we can truly become the nation that we claim to be. Each week, we talk about race, our politics, education, relationships, usually all of them, because everything's connected. And you, our listeners, are at the center of those conversations. I'm Kai Wright. Join me on Notes from America, wherever you get your podcasts.